For those of you that don't know much about us, again, I'm Ryan, and we are a part of an organization called GMMI, okay, an acronym, and that stands for Global Mission Mobilization Initiative. It's kind of a mouthful. That's why we like the acronym, short but sweet, GMMI, Global Mission Mobilization Initiative. And we live in Chiang Mai, Thailand. Where's Michael Weber? Where are you, brother? Are you around? All right. No, you're up on the second floor, so people can't see your shirt. But if you have seen him this morning, he is sporting a Thailand shirt to welcome us, but also because his lovely, lovely daughter, who we know very, very well, Elizabeth, who many of you guys will also know, she lives there in Chiang Mai as well. So that's home for us. We've lived there for 13 years. Before, we lived in Thailand for 13 years. We lived in Turkey for 4 years. Before that, we lived in Canada. So our entire married life of 21 years has been outside of America, actually, in terms of making it home. So Chiang Mai is where we have our GMMI international base. It's where we have our, we call it our Global Mobilization Institute, a training center for pastors and leaders from all over Asia to come to Chiang Mai and to be trained in a very, very specific kind of ministry. And I'm going to highlight that in a moment. So what GMMI kind of focuses on is equipping churches and equipping denominations. Well, how do you equip churches and how do you equip denominations? You equip their leaders, right? So we equip pastors, elder teams, leadership teams, executive teams, presidents of denominations, and we are equipping them in something very, very specific. And that ministry that we're equipping them in is called mission mobilization, hence the name of the organization, Global Mission Mobilization Initiative. This important ministry that often gets completely overlooked. Okay? We know a little bit about missions, going and serving unreached people groups, serving those who have a very, very small understanding or ability to hear and understand the gospel. We know a little bit about that, a little bit about world global missions. But what is the fuel that actually propels that global mission entity? Well, it's this middle gap kind of ministry called mission mobilization. And so the Lord has put on our heart for over 20 years now, the value, the importance, and yet the overlooked nature of this middle ministry called mission mobilization. And when I say middle, the reason I say that is because you have the church over here, you have the mission field over here. So we know, again, we're in the church. We know a little bit about that, a little bit. But how do we get from here to here? It's mission mobilization. And it has our churches so that we're being educated, we're being inspired. We, meaning all of us, are being activated into the different roles that God would have for us to be involved in serving in global mission. Now, that doesn't mean we all become missionaries in Chiang Mai or anywhere else for that matter, but that every single person in the body of Christ does have a significant role. If you call on the name of Jesus, if you're a disciple of Jesus, he has already given us, you, the Great Commission. And every single one of us have a role, even if we never leave Kansas City. So mobilization is that kind of middle gap ministry between the church and between reaching the world. I like to say it provides the fire. It provides the enthusiasm. It provides the vision that is absolutely necessary to catalyze individual believers, all of us, into whatever role God has called us to be involved in the Great Commission. Now, I'm going to talk this morning, I want to focus in, zero in on a specific aspect of this mission mobilization ministry. And it's an aspect related to prayer as well. One of the things I love about you guys, Harmony, and coming back here, is your passion for prayer. You've always had that. I've been connected with this church for many years, over 15. And so I've always known the value and the principle and the commitment of prayer. And so I want to talk about an element of mobilization connected to prayer that might be a new concept for most of us. Okay, I was in missions for many years, and I'm going to tell a little bit about this story before I understood this aspect of praying in a specific way. We're going to call it mobilization prayer, and we're going to unpack that a little bit this morning. All right, now to do so, I want to tell a little bit about my personal journey in prayer, as well as how God has led GMMI, this organization, related to prayer. And then how we are helping to influence many churches and many denominations in the non-Western global body of Christ so that they are getting engaged now in mission and getting engaged in this specific kind of prayer that we're going to call mobilization prayer. And I hope that when you leave this morning, my prayer would be that you too have been inspired in some way related to this kind of praying, and that going forward, you're going to say, wow, okay, maybe I saw some things this morning that I've not seen. I want to go forward in this specific aspect called mobilization prayer. Now, a little bit about my story. So God called me to prayer for the nations many, many years ago, actually in my early 20s. I went to a church. Kelly and I met at a church in Pasadena, California. So I am not from Missouri. I'm one of those from California, forgive me. The best of us, of course, yes. So I'm from Pasadena. So we met at a church that some of you might have heard of the name Lou Engle. How many of you have heard of that name, Lou Engle? So a bunch of you guys. So before Lou was famous prayer leader Lou that we know of him today, in the early 90s and mid-90s, Lou was a prayer pastor at the church that Kelly and I grew up in Pasadena, not grew up in, that we met in Pasadena, California. And so Lou, if you know him, very passionate prayer leader. And he would have daily prayer meetings in the morning, early morning, 6 a.m., we'd come to the church. But beyond that, the church had a prayer room, and I love you guys here have a prayer room as well. And the church had this prayer room that was, they didn't quite do it 24/7, but it was about 16 or so hours a day, okay? And they would have three-hour time slots, right, throughout the day, and church every day, during the week, whatever. So it was right off kind of the side of the sanctuary. And so you could sign up on this sheet Tuesday at 11 p.m. to 2 a.m. Okay, crazy time, but I did that a couple times. So for about 4 or 5 years, we were involved in this prayer room, and I was heavily, heavily involved in it, at least 2-3 slots every week. Oftentimes, I would be the only one in there. Okay, it was a big church, about 1,000 people or so church, but not everyone wants to engage in this intense prayer to sign up for a 3-hour time slot, so it was a limited number of those of us that were actually engaging in this way. And I remember there were 2 focal points of the prayer slots that we were supposed to be praying over those 3-hour, that 3-hour time period that we were in there, often by ourselves. Okay, 2 main points. Prayer for spiritual revival. If you know Lou, that's Lou, right? Prayer for revival, right? I love that. It got into my spirit. And then the second element was prayer for the unreached peoples of the world. So prayer for revival, not only at home here in America or even in Pasadena, California, but revival, spiritual revival that spreads around the earth, the Spirit of God, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, igniting hearts in fresh ways all around the world. And then beginning to pray and name those unreached people groups by name that I couldn't even pronounce some of their names. I didn't really know much about them, but I was on my knees crying out to God. God, pour out your Spirit on these people in Somalia, on these people in Djibouti, on these people in a lot of different nations that I would pray for. And something was happening in my own heart, in my own spirit, as I prayed in that little prayer room. My heart was getting tenderized, getting sensitized. I like to say, as I look back and the journey that the Lord has led me on, it was in that prayer room, not only, but it was in that prayer room a lot that God was mobilizing me for what I would eventually become involved in. I was wrestling with God, and God put a love, put a passion, put a desire for all the peoples of the earth in my heart during those several years. Okay, I have now, for over 20 years or so, traveled to 70 plus nations, and I've seen the power of prayer, people praying, I mean, not just prayer that does miracles. We pray for people and miracles happen, yes, but the miracle of people beginning to pray, believers praying, and their own hearts over time being transformed, coming into alignment with what God cares so much about. So we wholeheartedly believe in the power of prayer, again, to change us. So I'm a mobilizer. I do a lot of mobilization stuff. That's what I do. So I call prayer one of the most powerful mobilizers that is out there. You want to get people caring about other people? Get them praying for those other people. Serving comes out of an overflow of a heart of love because we've prayed for those people likely well before we serve them. Okay, so that's a little bit about my story. Now, about 12 years ago, when we had first moved to Thailand, so we moved there 13 years ago. So about 12 years ago, when we kind of got things set up there, got a training center and different things, GMMI started our own prayer room. Okay, so I remember how God had transformed me, how He had mobilized me, how He had used that little prayer room at our church in Pasadena, California, to really transform my life and many, many others. And so we started our own prayer room. We called it the Global Harvest Prayer Room there in Chiang Mai. And we got into daily corporate prayer. Every time we have a training group come through, every leader, some of these are big presidents, executives of denominations, and they're spending 2 hours a day in this prayer room in addition to all their other assignments. They're pouring their hearts out to the Lord. These are big leaders and their own hearts being transformed. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. And then about 8 years ago, so 12 years ago, we set up this prayer room. God, just pouring out our hearts in prayer for God to change nations. Powerful thing. Now, about 8 years ago, the Holy Spirit began to speak to us about an aspect that we had not been thinking about very well, an aspect of prayer, an aspect of praying in this prayer room for the nations that I would say we had overlooked. And it came kind of like a 2x4. It was surprising, and I'll get into why it was surprising in a moment. So the Lord began to teach us these things. And what I began to realize as I studied Scripture, and this is true in the Old Testament, this is true in the New Testament, but in particular in the New Testament, this was really pointed out very, very, in a startling kind of way, that most of the recorded prayers, particularly in the New Testament, so we look back at Jesus' own prayers, we look back at Paul's prayers, Peter's prayers, John's prayers. These apostolic prayers that we're very familiar with, they generally focused not on the lost themselves, not on prayer for reaching lost people necessarily, but all these, most of these, not all of them, most of these recorded apostolic prayers focused on an aspect of the spiritual development of individual believers and then the spiritual development and spiritual maturity of entire churches. Okay? Now, this was shocking to me. I did not like this. Why? I'm a missions guy. Okay? Have been for many years. I'm a fourth generation missionary. I'm not going to get into all that. Okay? But I have missions in my blood, in my DNA. So my whole idea that I love, that I grew up in that church in Pasadena, God, reach the nations. I want to reach unreached people, all the 5,000 still unreached people groups in the earth. Lord, that number needs to go down to zero. Okay, that was always my heart, and it still is. But the Lord began to show me, well, there's a little aspect here, biblically, that I want you to catch. Because I want you to implement this other aspect along with the current aspects that I've already shown you and taught you. I want you to bring this one into the mix as well. And so this focal point on aspects, praying for aspects primarily of spiritual development in the church, in the body of Christ, so that believers are growing into who Christ has called them and made them to be. Okay, and we're going to see in a moment why the Holy Spirit has put these recorded prayers into the New Testament and the Old Testament as well. Even the Old Testament, a lot of the recorded prayers, David, Moses, others, they're prayer for the people of God. There's a reason behind that. Okay, so this realization was very surprising. Now, I want to look at a few scriptures here to point this out. And these are some of the ones that caught my attention, that the Holy Spirit used to say, hey, wait a second, you might have overlooked a little bit of something here. Let's look first, we might have it on the screen, Ephesians chapter 1. Let's bring that one up if we can. These are all apostolic recorded prayers of Paul that we find in Scripture. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17 to 19. We all know this, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power. Now, when we look at this passage, this is a prayer. Okay, Paul is praying. Who's the you in the prayer? You shows up several times between verses 17 to 19. Who is the you? It's not unbelievers. Okay, now, we can use a passage like this, because all Scripture is inspired by God and can be used in different ways. We can use this, of course, to pray for the lost. And that's what we would often, that's what I often did. Not realizing, wait a second, who is the audience that Paul is writing to? He's writing to committed believers already. These were not lost people. He's not praying that they would get saved. He's praying that they would be growing in some areas. What are some of the areas that he prays in? He says, I want you to have the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Now, we're not going to go into a teaching about what all these phrases mean. I do that sometimes, and I love that, but it's not the time this morning. But each one of those phrases, those prayer points, each of the passages we're going to look at this morning is a mini prayer manual. You can take verses 17 to 19, and there's about 6 prayer points in those few verses that you can now turn and pray for your family members, that you can turn and pray for your neighbors, that you can turn and pray for your church friends and neighbors and connections and relationships, okay? Now, you can pray for lost people using these, but it's not the primary way that the Holy Spirit intended when He wrote Scripture, the Spirit of God, I'm saying, through Paul. He's saying, I want these recorded prayers in there so that my people see and can follow a little bit of inspiration related to their own prayer lives. Okay, now let's look at Ephesians chapter 3, verses 16 to 19. Just a couple chapters over from Ephesians 1. We find this, it says this, that He, the Father of glory, would grant you according to the riches of His glory. Again, who's He talking to? Believers. He's praying for believers to go deeper into the Lord, to be strengthened with might, he says. This is a prayer. Each of these are prayer points. Through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, the depth, the height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. So in our little prayer room, we have started to take these apostolic prayers and turn them to now pray for national bodies of Christ. And we're going to get into how to do that in a moment. Colossians chapter 1 is another example. Colossians 1 verses 9 to 12. This is one of Paul's apostolic prayers again. We do not cease to pray for you, he says. Who's he praying for? The church at Colossae. Who are we praying for? Our church members. Who are we praying for? Maybe the churches in Estonia that I know you guys are heavily connected with. We do not cease to pray for you. What are we praying, Paul? And to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will. Have you ever prayed for your children? Have you ever prayed for your spouse? Have you ever prayed for your extended family members to be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding? These are deep prayers. Let's keep going. The knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may have a walk worthy of the Lord. Again, he's praying for believers. A walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the experiential knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Powerful prayer points in that small passage. Okay, sometimes when I'm reading and I'm doing my devotion, I kind of skip through, and I was overlooking. Wait a second, Lord, here's our rich prayer points that I need to be praying for those around me. So these were some of the lessons that the Lord was teaching us about 8 or so years ago. See, what we had tended to do in this small prayer room was we had put the focus on prayer for the result. Prayer for the result. What was the result? That unreached peoples who have very limited access to the truth of Jesus Christ, they're from a Muslim background, they're from a Buddhist background, they're from a Hindu background, whatever. We had prayed that the result, that they would be coming to faith in Jesus, which was good and right, absolutely. But the majority, actually, of Scripture itself, we began to conclude and understand the scriptural prayers themselves, they have a little bit of a different emphasis. Now, there are prayers in there that Paul highlights about that a door would be open for great ministry, a door would be open for salvation. So those are there. The point is, the great majority, the great priority of the recorded apostolic prayers are actually on the church. And again, there's a reason for that. So we began to change our outlook a little bit, beginning to understand that if we pray for the church to become who she is meant to be, then we pray also for the church to be mobilized to understand her Great Commission calling, that middle gap piece, then we will actually be moving more effectively towards seeing the fulfillment of Jesus' Great Commission, his plans for all those unreached people groups to be reached with the gospel of Christ. So these 8 years ago, when the Lord was taking us through this pretty massive paradigm shift, I would say, we began to see this crucial progression, actually, in God's redemptive plan. There was a progression that was happening. God wanted us to be praying for his corporate people, the people of God all over the earth, all those that call on the name of the Lord, to be rising in wholehearted discipleship to himself, growing in obedience, growing in maturity, not remaining as spiritual babes, but growing in the onward and upward calling, as Paul talks about. Growing in faithfulness. Growing in perseverance when the going gets tough, as it does for all of us. Being faithful in our calling and purpose in God. Aligning our lives with His big picture, overarching plan of redeeming all peoples. And again, every one of us is part of that overarching plan. Even if we never leave our neighborhood, we still have a role in that global redemptive purpose and plan that God has. And so it became very clear. It was like a light burst open into our hearts and minds that this increase of discipleship as a growing dimension across the body of Christ, what's the natural result of that? What's the natural outworking of that? Well, it's going to empower the church to actually be mobilized and to be activated into this glorious calling of reaching every tribe, of reaching every people group with the power of the gospel. So there was a cause and effect kind of connection with this. You pray in this way that the church would come out of, if I can say it this way, come out of our mediocrity and come into the fullness of what God has actually intended us to be as individual believers and as corporate bodies of Christ, corporate fellowships, to move us to that place where we can then be who we are meant to be, that salt and the light, that city that is placed up on the hill that Jesus talks about. So prayer for the church then, we don't talk about a lot, this. We don't talk about this stuff in missions. We talk about the nations. We talk about the result. We talk about how they can be reached, and that's good and right. But it's this middle ground of, yes, but we also need to be praying for the church itself, because that will directly impact unreached frontier peoples with the gospel of Christ. Now, this is why I believe the Holy Spirit has put so many requires in the Bible to show us, so that we are pushed to study the how many of the prayers are focused on this aspect? How many of the prayers are focused on that aspect? How many of your prayers are focused over here? That tells us something. That is a lesson, that is a principle in and of itself. And the fact that so many of the recorded prayers in the Word of God are focused on the people of God becoming who they're called to be, so that they can then be the right light for the rest of the world. And so then we began to understand a little bit different. But it wasn't just prayer for the church in terms of spiritual dimension, as we just looked at those examples of Paul, and there's many, many others. We were also recognizing we still needed to be praying for the church in some other areas. Yes, that they would grow into spiritual maturity, that the church would become who we are truly meant to be, walking out that power, but also prayer for the church to rightly understand her Great Commission calling. Now, again, I've been in missions a long time, and often what I find is within churches there is a handful, a group, that are kind of more excited than the rest of the body about this entity called global mission. Okay? That it just kind of gets sidelined as this little group, oh, they're kind of the radical missions ones, right? And then the rest of us were kind of just going about our other business. Well, what I've found as I read the scriptures and as I understand the heart of God a little bit more is that God's heart is actually that all of us are growing in this understanding. Every believer understanding what the Bible actually says from Genesis to Revelation about this core thread of redemption, this core thread in terms of the purpose of God, why Jesus, why we're still waiting for Jesus to come back. Well, it's all in here about the timing and what some of those criteria are for His return. And what it tells us is that all of history is moving in a direction. It's the redemptive plan and purpose of God. So that, now we've tended to call it the Great Commission, but it's way before Matthew 28. This was in God's heart from the very, very beginning, that all peoples, through you, Abraham, in Genesis chapter 12, I'm going to bless all the peoples of the earth, not just the Jews. I have a way bigger plan than that. And he's going to open the door in the book of Acts to bring that about. And so we began to pray that the Lord in churches would raise every church up spiritually, become true disciples, walking out the purpose of God. But then second, that every church would be mobilizing itself. Bible studies on understanding that redemptive thread through the Bible that I just highlighted. We call it God's heart for the nations in Scripture. Church small groups praying for these unreached people groups that we've talked about. Many other tools, many other opportunities that we can put inside our church so that we're growing and of the Great Commission. So we began to understand some of these points. Now what we did is we said, okay, this is a bit of a new concept for us even. Again, I was shocked. I did not like this paradigm shift that the Lord began to take us on. But we did begin to understand, even as we introduced it with our training schools and pastors from many different countries around the world, we began to see, okay, we need a little name for this. We need to call it something. So that's where we came with this idea of calling it mobilization prayer. Prayer that is fixated on mobilizing the church, you can say, to be who she is called to be in all of the different ways. Now, if I could give you a definition of this mobilization prayer, it would be this. Prayer focused on standing in the gap for the global body of Christ to become all God intends spiritually. Overcoming all the often shallow, complacent, and compromised-filled outlooks that we can tend to take on. While simultaneously being mobilized, equipped, empowered, and scattered out. Whether that scattered out means in our family, our workplace, our neighborhood, across the state of Missouri, across the United States, or across the nations of the earth. Scattered to impact both culturally near and distant unreached people groups. So in other words, mobilization prayer then focuses on this necessity of the church growing up in spiritual maturity and depth, while being mobilized, aligning with Jesus' redemptive purpose for the nations. Now, in my closing minutes here, I want to share a bit of a model. So I've shared a little bit of the paradigm shifts, a little bit of the theological aligning with what Scripture actually highlights and points out. Well, then we began to put these new lessons and principles into a model. Okay, how do we have a prayer meeting that highlights these ideas? And so now, every prayer meeting that we do in our Global Harvest Prayer Room in Chiang Mai at our training center, every one of our prayer meetings follows in some way. We're led by the Spirit, obviously, but it does tend to follow this pattern, this model, if you will. So I encourage each one of us, if this is a helpful model for you, I encourage you to consider how you can even implement it into your day-to-day prayer lives, into your prayer meetings that you have corporately with other people. So each day, what we do, we choose a specific country of focus. Okay, so you guys, the mission team was just in Estonia recently, so let's use Estonia as a bit of an example. Okay, so, and it would be prayer for the Estonian body of Christ. Okay, so not only our Vineyard church plant there, not only this church, not only that church, that's good, but we do want to pray a little bit broader, a little bit more corporately when we're really engaging in this way. Okay, so the national church, we can say, in Estonia. All right, so if we broke it up into, or if we had a 1 hour prayer meeting, let's say that. If we had a 1 hour prayer meeting, we would spend maybe a third of the prayer time focused on our first category of prayer points or prayer emphasis or prayer focus. And this prayer focus would be praying for the Estonian body to be growing spiritually. Okay, this wholehearted discipleship is another way that we kind of term it. So we take some of these prayers that we've already prayed or looked at this morning, and many, many others, these apostolic recorded prayers of Scripture, and we unpack them, and we pray the specific prayer points. Like we said in Ephesians 1, 17 to 19, there's maybe six separate prayer points. So we would go through each one, spending 5 minutes or so praying through each one. Prayer for the Estonian believers to be growing up into each one of these specific prayer point areas. So what we're doing when we do that is we're actually contending for an increased depth of that spiritual discipleship across the whole body of Christ in Estonia. So we spend our first third or so 20 or so minutes, okay, just focused on that category. Then we'd move to the next category, which is still focused on prayer for the church, but a slightly different aspect. So the first area is prayer for this wholehearted discipleship to take root. Every believer growing up into who she is meant to be as a son or a daughter of God, walking in the fullness of all God has provided. All right, now the second category is now prayer for the church in Estonia, the national church, to be growing in mission understanding, growing in mission mobilization, growing in vision for how each individual church in Estonia ought to be that lighthouse, ought to be scattering out, ought to be engaged in many different forms of outreach. Well, we know not all churches are doing that. That's part of why we pray. Right? So prayer first, that first category, for the church, every believer, and the church as a whole to be really growing up into that spiritual depth. Second, built on the back of that growing spiritual depth, they're beginning to understand more things about their own calling in the Great Commission. That this isn't just something for a few missionaries with that title, whatever that means. No, it's for every born-again believer. If I'm in a church in Estonia, that's my calling in some form and finding my role in that. So we pray for that. Every church in Estonia growing up, that the Great Commission, that redemptive thread that we mentioned from Genesis to Revelation that is in Scripture, that would become primary once again. That the central message of who we are as the people of God would be understood as the hands and feet of Jesus, who's on a redemptive mission, and all of us are meant to participate in that mission. So that's the second category. So we pray in that way in a lot of different ways. A lot of different prayer points that can go into praying for churches across a nation to be growing in Great Commission understanding, in their Great Commission rules. Then third, now we transition into what we traditionally had been focusing almost all of our prayer on when we prayed for the nations. And that was praying for the lost in Estonia. Praying for unreached pockets who have never met a Christian and never even heard the gospel in any shape or form. They're still out there, even in Estonia. Okay, so we pray for them. That's that next 20 minutes or so, if you're using the hour kind of prayer meeting model. So then we cry out, God, that you would reach through the churches, through the lighthouses, through the believers who are salt and light in a city on a hill, that you would be using them now to reach all these people in this nation with the gospel of Christ. So that's the one-hour model, three categories of prayer. Pretty easy, pretty simple. All of us, my individual prayer life has radically changed in these 8 years. Where now, I'm praying a lot more for the spiritual depth to grow up. Because I understand that must be the foundation. We cannot, and again, this isn't a criticism, this isn't a put down, it's just a bit of a fact. A mediocre body of Christ is not going to be able to tear down the walls of Islam, the walls of Buddhism, the walls of Hinduism, and to see all these unreached peoples reach with the gospel. That's just not going to happen. Okay, sometimes we think, well, you know, we can just go as we are, and of course you can. Jesus loves us to go as we are and reach people. But he also wants us simultaneously to be growing up. And that's clear from all of the recorded prayers in the scripture. I think I'm going to close with that. I'm minding my time, trying to be faithful. Let me invite us all to stand if we could. Let's all close our eyes before the Lord. Now, I'm sure some of what you heard this morning might be a little new. Again, I am a missions guy, and I had been for many years, and this was all new when the Holy Spirit began to knock me over the head with the 2x4. That's okay that it's a newer concept. What I would invite you to do is to open your heart and say, Lord, I see a few of these things in your word, and as I've listened, I think there's some reality here. Lord, would you help me to integrate some of these ideas into my own prayer life? That's my prayer for you this morning. That our prayer lives would be a little bit different going forward, even as we pray for lost people. Yes, absolutely. Pray for believers to become who we're meant to be, so that we can then reach out effectively. And I think if we do it like that, according to the biblical model, we may actually see a little bit more fruitfulness. And I know that's what we all want. I know that's what God is looking for. He wants us to bear great fruit, his word says, not little fruit. And so, Lord, we thank you this morning. We thank you for this congregation. We thank you for each person present. We thank you, Lord, that this is a praying body, that this is a praying church. Lord, now we ask, God, as you're continually teaching each one of us, Lord, we're never kind of static. We don't come to a place and we've kind of graduated, we got it all together. No, we're constantly growing. Lord, would this new little piece of the prayer arsenal that we've gleaned this morning, would you help us to implement it into our prayer lives in some form? Now, I want to invite you just to take a moment. Think about this next coming week. Think about what you've heard this morning. And I want you to grab onto one piece. Sometimes we try and apply 10 principles, and it's like, well, it's not so easy. I want you to think of one thing you heard this morning that stuck out to you. And I want you to consider, how can I implement that this week in prayer? Okay, let's just take a moment and reflect on that. 10, 15 seconds. Let's let the Holy Spirit bring that one thing to your mind that you can now turn around this week and actually put into practice related to praying. Let's just take a moment and let the Spirit speak to us. Lord, we want to be aligned with you, aligned with your ways, aligned with your word. Like the disciples so long ago prayed, we equally pray, Lord, teach us to pray. Help us, Holy Spirit. I bless this body. Lord, pour out your Spirit on every person, on every member of this wonderful church. Encourage their hearts. Lord, show them how they, what their role is in this grand, great commission plan that you have. Mobilize this church, we ask. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.